With a look of thorough humbleness, Drinchy shook the young hare's paw fervently.
Well, our mum made me match there, mate. You must be the best bragger ever born. You made me look like a beginner.
The triumphant horsey was gallant, even in victory.
No hard feelings, Drinchy, lad. But mind you language in the future, what?
A magnificent supper was served, as befitted shrew cooks, who were renowned across the waterways for their culinary skills. Huge portions were served up to Horsey. The shrews gathered round, gazing in awe as he downed one dish after another.
Yum, this is top hole tucker, what? Pass some more of that skillion duff, please. Oh, and lob more honey over it. I like it that way. I say, is that actually rhubarb and blackberry crumble? Where's me blinking spoon? Ginger, old scout, would you be kind enough to fetch more shrew beer? Not that little beaker. Give me the jug.
Bragoon chuckled.
Look at young Horty. He's in his element there. They'll get tired of serving before he does of eating. Mark my words, Briggy.
The shrew chieftain watched Horsey admiringly.
That un should have been a shrew, mate. I saw him march straight into that reptile crowd without turning a hair. They'd already thrown 3 javelins and spiked his hat. I tell you, Bragoon, it takes a brave beast to do that.
The otter poured himself another beaker of shrew beer.
Or a raving idiot. I'll tell you the truth of it all some day.
Horsey was onto a wild grape and almond pudding.
Never had this before. My word, it's rather toothsome, what? Send the old cook out and I'll give her a kiss.
A small, toothless, grizzled male shrew stumped out from behind the cauldrons hanging over the fire. He grinned.
I'm the cook round here. What was it you wanted, sir?
Horsey choked on a mouthful of pudding.
What? Oh, nothing, Grandad. Excellent scarf, what? Top marks, well done and all that. Back to the old fire and keep on cooking, eh? What?
Logalog Briggy called to his shrews.
You can let those reptiles free now. I reckon they've learned their lesson. If any of those slimy-skinned lot give you any bother, give another drubbing and tell him you'll sling him in the river. That should scare him.
He sat down with Bragoon and Sara, winking fondly at them.
Now then, mateys, what brings you two to these parts, eh?
They explained the mission for Martha's Cure and the quest for Loamhedge. Briggy stroked his beard.
Loamhedge, eh? I've heard tell of the place. But you'd have to cross the Great Gorge to get anywheres near where the story say the lost Abbey of Loamhedge lies. Did you bring some kind of chart along to help you find it? Or are you just trusting to fortune?
Bragoon produced the chart from Matthias's journal.
It's been mostly luck to date, but we do have this.
Briggy rummaged a battered single eyeglass from his belt pouch and held it to his eye.
My old peepers ain't what they used to be. I've got to use this monocle to see. Right, what have we got here?
He perused the dilapidated parchment thoroughly.
I know this country. It's southeast of where we are now. I've seen these 2 rocks and all. They call the Bell and the Badger's Head. Great big lumps of stone they are. What's this? A large tree called the Lord of Mossflower? That was long gone in the seasons afore my father's grandfathers. Blowed down or collapsed more likely when the earth trembled.
Sorrow looked anxiously at the shrew chieftain.
But you do know where the 2 big rocks are.
Briggy stowed his monocle away.
Oh, I knows that place, sure enough. East along this river for a day or so, then cut south when you leave the bank. Wicked country, tis.
Bragoon patted his sword hilt.
Nah, don't worry us. We've travelled wicked country afore. So will you take us upriver to the Bell and the Badger's Head, me old mate?
Briggy held out his paw.
Course I will. Here's me paw and here's me heart on it. But afore you gets to the big rocks, you've got to cross the Great Gorge. I never knew of any beast who's done that yet.
Sara winked at him.
You leave that to us. We've done lots of things no beast has ever done, me and me mate.
Jigger joined them, taking a great interest in Bragoon's sword.
That's a fine-looking blade you carry, mate.
The otter drew the sword, holding it out to let the firelight play along its blade in the gathering twilight. It shimmered and glinted like a live thing.
Aye, a fine blade it is, young'un. My friend, the Abbot of Redwall, loaned it to me for the journey. 'Tis the sword of Martin the Warrior.
The shrews had evidently heard of Martin. As word ran through the camp, they crowded around Bragoon, straining to catch a glimpse of the legendary weapon.
So that's the sword of Martin. 'Tis a sight to behold.
They say it was made at the Badger Mountain from a piece of star what fell out of the sky.
Blood and fair fancy owning a blade like that.
Jokingly, Jigger drew his own short rapier and waved it.
Would you like to challenge me to a spot of swordplay?
There was a twinkle in Briggy's eye as he nudged the otter.
Go on, mate. Show him what a real sword beast can do.
Bragoon rose casually, then moved like lightning. Jigger stood aghast, rooted to the spot, as the sword encircled him in a streaking pattern of light. It clipped one of his whiskers and tipped the bandana from off his forehead. The young shrew closed his eyes tightly. Bragoon whirled the blade as he roared,
"Yar! Death!"
The rapier flicked from Jigger's paw. It whipped through the air, then quivered point first in the prow of his father's big logboat, which was drawn up on the bank. Jigger gasped,
"Scuttle me keel! How'd you do that, mate?"
Bragoon winked roguishly at him.
"That's a secret, young'un.